No problem.
It is 6 o'clock, and this is Wednesday, January 4th, and this is a regularly scheduled Planning Commission meeting. In attendance are Sherm Howard, Hugh Howard, Alan Weiss, Matt Jewison, and Kyson Spindlove, with Christian Harrison as an alternate. Thank you. Could I have an invitation? A volunteer to give us an invocation and lead us in the pledge? It's probably my turn.
Our Father in Heaven, we're grateful for the opportunity we have to participate in self-government. We're thankful for the organization of the government and the opportunity we have to have input. We pray that Thou will bless us this evening, that we will consider wisely and act in the best interest of the city. And we ask for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item number B is appointments. Are you doing that, Nancy?
Sure.
Okay.
So we have a 5-year reappointment of Alan Weiss, alternate Richard Howard, and alternate Christian Harrison for 1 year. So I'll go ahead and swear in.
Am I coming around?
If you want. Having been appointed,
having been appointed
to the office of planning commissioner,
do solemnly swear
that I will support,
obey and defend
the Constitution of the United States,
and the Constitution of this state,
and that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
Item number C, election of chair and chair pro tem by commissioners. I would accept nominations.
I'll nominate you, Chair Alan Bias, as the chair again.
Okay.
I would second that.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
I'd nominate Kyson as chair pro tem, although I didn't ask him.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I probably should have asked if there were other nominations, but we're done. Item number D, approval of tonight's agenda.
I move that we approve tonight's agenda.
I'll second that.
Motion by Kyson, second by Matt. All in favor?
Aye.
Item number E, approval of the minutes of the December 10th, 2025 regular meeting.
I move that we approve the minutes for the December 10th, 2025 regular meeting.
I'll second that.
Motion by Sherm, multiple seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Item number F, report. Councilman Valenti.
Well, this will be a little getting used to, but the meeting was a general change of government, and you've seen tonight, you know, nomination of chairs and committee heads. Aside from that, there were three business items. The first was work release for the city's secondary water improvements. That's a deal with Sunrise Engineering to replace our kind of decrepit system. So the work release was agreed to by the council, and it should be on the way. I think they're planning on something late fall of this year to actually start some construction. There was also a funding package that was approved for a bonding of the lead and copper project to replace lines that have contaminated with lead and copper. And the other was a ratification of the secondary water conservation plan. And that's basically, what we've been doing insofar as it was a little bit better codified in the, plan where we're, certain days of watering, sprinkler restrictions, and the like. It was also an item given us to start discussing the changes to the cemetery ordinance and trying to bring that up today. So that's my report.
Thank you. Where did Derek go? Oh, there you are. Director of Operations?
I don't have anything.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Item number G, presentation by Kevin Smedley. We'll move to between item number J and before item number K. Item number H, public hearing. We actually have three public hearings. Seeing the crowd, let's do the first two together as a single public hearing because they're related, and then the last one. Public hearings are designed for the public to express opinions or desires or make statements otherwise relevant to the issue being discussed. They're not an opportunity for debate or discussion. At the discretion of city staff or planning commission, questions raised during the public hearing portion of the meeting may be addressed after the public hearing closes and the Planning Commission discusses the issue at hand, or may be addressed by city staff at a later date. But during the public hearing, no interactive discussion will take place. To give everyone an opportunity to speak, we'll limit each speaker to 3 minutes. The first public hearing is an ordinance amending city code by deleting, changing, or adding certain terms and definitions to section 10-1-6. And item public hearing number two is the same thing, terms, deleting, changing, or adding terms to section 10-7-21. Derek, would you maybe briefly give us an overview?
Yeah, I was going to try to put it up on the computer for you, but nothing's working. I'll do it real fast and go sit back at my seat so I don't get caught on it. So the first two ordinance, or two, what we're dealing with is where we are including definitions for accessory buildings or accessory structures attached to the primary building, which we didn't have the definition for attached. So when people are trying to build internal dwelling units, some people try to pass a piece of wood or something attaches from one building to the other, so we actually put a definition in there. And then the meaning of lot coverage. Then in the other one, we address on the internal dwelling units. Definition. Yeah, right there, number C, or number.
Number C?
That, number C. Must be attached to the primary dwelling, and then in parentheses, accessory definition. We're just trying to keep it simple to where we only have to have it put into one's location so it doesn't get as confusing. And that's it. We took all the other stuff out there. Oh, no. So sorry.
So that just kind of clarifies those clarified definitions. So we'll open the public hearing. If you'd like to speak to it, please come up to the microphone and state your name.
Are you just doing the first two right now?
Right now. Seeing none, we'll close that public hearing and move on to the third public hearing, an ordinance amending and modifying the regulations in section 10-6A-5 and section 10-6B-5 and 10-6D-5 of the Laverkan City Code. That deals with setbacks, I believe. Do you want to briefly tell us what changes there are there?
Yeah, so this will deal with all of our residential zoning that basically prior to that, it allowed on side yards, if you had 10 feet behind the main house, you could put in a structure within 2 feet, if you were building in the corner, within 2 feet of each property line. The concern here was that we have a lot of our utilities, especially in the older part of town, irrigation runs down the back property line of everybody. And we start to get a lot of people that are building buildings on top of that, which, you know, if they want to do that, I mean, they do it, but if we ever have to go in there and repair it, we have the ability under the code to go in there and pretty much tear apart, remove, do whatever we need to do to get in there and make the repair, and then on our system, and then it would be up to them to make the repair back to what their structure was. So as we started to get more and more people trying to do that, we thought this might be a good thing, along with the 5 feet makes us in compliance with the fire code. 5 feet away, we have that instance on 320 North South, 320 North, where they set 2 feet away from each other, one common fire, and the other one did two because of its close proximity to the property line. But we also allowed if there are no utilities there, then they have to be able to move within 5 feet of the property line. So if they have utilities, it's 7.5. If they don't, then it's 5 feet. That's it.
So we'll open a public hearing on that. If you'd like to speak to it, please step up to the microphone and state your name.
Operating illegally, is that not right, Nancy? are now have had to face quite the monetary consequence of not being able to operate as a short-term rental. So they've had quite a bit of, you know, monetary disruption, I would think. So then this ordinance, as proposed, comes along and will allow short-term rentals in detached accessory dwelling units. Why did we just close down all of these other residents, homeowners, from having short-term rentals if we're going to open it up to another group of homeowners and allow them to have it? So I'm guessing that at the very least, the city could be facing a lawsuit over this. And housing is so tight right now. The legislature wants to mandate high density, or not high density necessarily, but they want to mandate density of housing because there is not enough housing to be had. Where Brooklyn certainly feels this is that the affordability of housing has gone out the window. Part of that nationally is because of short-term rentals. And so why would we open it up again? I think that when this came to the Planning Commission, it was put to the Planning Commission, as most items are, that it came from the City Council. I'd like to make that distinction. It came from two members of the City Council, not five members of the City Council. So once again, I strongly object to allowing short-term rentals in this ordinance.
Thank you. I think, Derek, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't we take this out of that?
Yeah.
And later tonight we'll be discussing setting a public hearing specifically for the detached ADUs being allowed to be short-term rentals. But this ordinance, we cleaned that out and it just talks about the setbacks.
Oh, okay. It was in the packet. In red, but it was just page 93. That's for number 4.
We'll
oh, okay.
We'll
my
get
apologies.
There.
Then I have no objection.
Further comment? Then we will close that public hearing. And move to item, I'm going to find it here. Item number I, business. Discussion and possible action to recommend approval of the ordinance amending the Laverkan City Code by deleting, changing, or adding certain terms and items, terms and definitions to section 10-1-6. We considered this and the next item of business together in the public hearing, but for the sake of a clean vote, let's deal with them individually. Discussion. We have
discussed it.
We have discussed it at some length previously.
Now, like changing and kind of clarifying the definitions a little bit more. Basically what we're doing here.
Then I would entertain a motion if there's no discussion.
I would move then that we approve the ordinance amending the Laverkan City Code by deleting, changing, or adding certain terms and definitions to section 10-1-6.
I'll second that. Motion by Sherm, a pair of seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Number 2, discussion and possible action to recommend approval of an ordinance amending the Laverkan City Code by deleting, changing, or adding certain terms and definitions to section 10-7-21. The same thing but applying to a different section of the code. Discussion. Then I would entertain a motion. And just one second.
What?
Never mind.
I move that we approve the ordinance amending the Liberty Code by deleting, changing, or adding certain terms and definitions to section 10-7-21.
I'll second that.
Motion by Hughes, second by Matt. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Item number 3, discussion and possible action to recommend approval of an ordinance amending and modifying regulations in section 10-6A-5, 10-6B-5, 10-6D-5 of the Liberty City Code. That's the setbacks. Discussion.
As long as we are clarifying that this is just for setbacks, which I read through just to verify one more time, but yes, I don't see any problems. I think it's a good thing.
Motion?
I'll second that.
Okay. Motion by Kyson, a second by Matt. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Item number 4. Presentation, discussion, and possible action to set a public hearing for January 28, 2026 regarding an ordinance amending the Liberty City Code for allowance of short-term rental in detached accessory dwelling units and providing an effective date, which is what Patty was addressing. So this is a proposal to set a public hearing for our next meeting regarding that proposition. We discussed it at some length last time, but we opted to table it because not all of us were here. Discussion. Please.
In the packet, those are up for discussion last time. These are things that in red that we included or changed. Went from allowances from 10,000 square foot lot to larger state, which is indicated.
And it doesn't have to be zoned R18, it just has to be 8,000 square feet.
Yeah.
So if you had a big lot in a smaller zone, it would authorize these.
Yeah, so that was basically the first, you know what, this thing is I don't swear to them. Let me go to my paper copy. And then we added, let's see, so we did that. We also added or enacted in the ordinance that talked about there may be at some point in time to see what is part of business license. So we changed number 4, B4, to read basically that ability of a business license would be required. And then we added to that is during each annual license renewal for short-term rentals, applicants must show proof that they own and live on the property. This can be done, or this can be a warranty deed, affidavit, or deed restriction. And must also confirm that either the main house or the VAVU will continue to be their house if it is rented. And then we just specified from the code the penalty that was associated with it. Just put, you know, so depending on, not really so much how it goes from here, but, you know, from the city council, we put some teeth into it. We tried to get them to, you know, at least identify it because we do have to try to say that's the main house and it's not the main house. And so, you know, we're trying to limit the amount of work and research the staff has to do on that. So those were the additions that we added to it. Just trying to do what we could to make it the best we could, considering the circumstances. Yeah.
Discussion.
Well, I'm kind of patty on this one. I think we went through this before. Kind of opening a can of worms again. I mean, as far as policing it and everything, so I'm not excited about it.
So what's before us is whether to set a public hearing concerning it. a concerned citizen advise that we have the public hearing, which will allow the city council to see those comments and have a week to consider them before before they take action on it. Members of the city council are anxious that it happens. If we opt to not have a public hearing on it, they will. And then they may not have the time to consider between public hearing and action like we did with our public hearings tonight. So even though I haven't been shy about how I feel about it, I think we ought to have a public hearing about it. There will be a public hearing. It's just a matter of here or in the city council. And doing it here would give them the opportunity to review it before they meet on it.
I would agree with that. I think after we do the public hearing, we then have that opportunity to make a recommendation, and we can still voice our concerns during that recommendation as well. But I do think it would be good to get public, get their comments as well.
I would entertain a motion if there's no further comment.
Okay, well, I know that we have a public hearing on what day?
28th.
And what's the name of it? What did I say?
It is
number four, right there. Over here.
Yeah.
We set a public hearing for January 28, 2026, regarding an ordinance amending the Burton City Code for allowance of short-term rental in detached accessory dwelling units and providing an effective date.
I'll second that.
Motion by Hugh, second by Sherm. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. So it will behoove us to come prepared for that next time. Item number five, discussion regarding off-site signage. Is that yours again, Derek?
Oh. We're going to let the professional handle it.
Thank you, Brad.
Derek called me up when we come down and talked about directional signage, since I think that is somewhat of an issue here. So what I did is put some stuff together. You can see before you have a definition for directional signage. And essentially, it's just pointing people in the right direction as to where you want them to find whatever you're trying to advertise or as part of a city. So it's a fairly simple definition. Now the sign type, I was thinking about bringing a whole bunch of designs down. The issue is that I think that's something, if you want to go down this path, I can bring in all kinds of different designs that you can take a look at. But most of these types of signs, they all have the city prominent display somewhere or another, and then they have the directional arrows pointing wherever you need to go. They can be a single pole, they can be double pole, like this example we have here. Or there's just so many different ways to do it. So I don't think that's the major issue with this type of thing. And I'm going to get to that major issue just in a minute. I developed some criteria. Like all directional signs should be owned by the city. You don't want privately owned directional signs. No directional signs should be located in the corner cut area. No signs should be located in the manner to obscure other signs that are actually directing traffic and those types. They should all be located in the public right-of-way. There should only be one design, one official design for directional signs for the city. And signs which include illumination, flashing lights, those sort of things should not be part of a directional sign. Now, in regards to regulations, signs advertising activities that are illegal under federal, state, or city laws should not be allowed. There should be no vulgar phrases, cuss words, those type of things. The message on the directional sign should be limited to the identification of the attraction or activity. And it's for the traveling public. It's not just for advertising, so to speak. All directional signage shall be of interest of the traveling public. And the city should utilize these signs to advertise or at least point to where your parks are, the fire stations, city halls. Now here comes the more difficult part. The more difficult part when cities get involved in these kind of things is who actually allowed to be on the site. You should probably not have home-based business on the site. You already have restrictions for home-based businesses. You don't want a lot of traffic being directed to home-based business. So I think you're pretty safe in saying no home-based businesses. Now, once you get past that, the question is, I know you've got the spa, which is a big attraction, and that's probably one of the reasons for the direction sign, but do you allow dance flower shops to be on the direction sign, or hotels, or those types of things? And I think that's where probably Faye's going to have to get involved eventually as to how you're going to deal with this. I'll give you an example. In the city that I manage in California, we used to allow banners to be kind of over a right of way that would advertise different events for churches, charity events, those type of things. And it all worked fine until we got a church that was a devil worshiping church that came in and wanted to have their name on this banner. And we ended up allowing it, and then right after that we got rid of the program, because once you're in these situations, you're a governmental agency, you can't just pick and choose who goes on these things. And so I think you're going to probably get one of these First Amendment issues with this, depending on how you want to do it. But again, I think it's something that Faye's going to have to get involved in. It's going to be your harder issue with this. The design of all that we figure out is who's going to go on these signs and how you're going to restrict, if you can restrict. If you just kept it to just the parks here, city hall's there, that kind of stuff, you're 100% good. But when cities start becoming advertising agencies, which is some of this is going to be, it's going to create some problems. The second problem I found with these, maybe not as much of an issue here, but in California, they got tagged in media all the time. So, that could be an issue, but that's just more of a maintenance issue. I think your bigger issue is how you deal with those other sites. So, that's my presentation for tonight, kind of an introduction to it.
The one that the hot springs has, isn't that on their property? Don't they own clear to the corner there?
Yeah.
So it's not really, it's not, well, it is a directional sign, but it's on their property. I see a difference between that and...
Yeah, no, absolutely.
That's just a business sign. It's like any business.
I mean, but when you're in the public right of way with a sign, that's when it becomes a public issue. Their own stuff on their own site, they can do whatever they want to do.
I mean, the whole situation between the two, the request to this, the hot springs and the RV resort. RV resorts are pretty much hidden because of the block wall requirements and the non-access off of 9 from UDOT. So you got to go down Main Street so far and turn and get into theirs. And the hot spring sits back so far that it's, if you're just kind of blowing by, you're not really going to see it. So, and that's why we got Brad presenting this, because I didn't even anticipate that would have to be potentially opened up to every business on the SR-970 corridor, if that's how we wanted to go about it. But they requested it just due to the fact that they're so hard to find, and they wanted to, enhance the business.
Well, I'd like to complain about that hot spring sign, because it blocks your view of the traffic. It makes it more dangerous to pull out there. It needs to be up a little so you can see under or something.
I was actually going to ask if that's what the corner cutoff area, then that's I was going to ask for a definition of that, but in my mind, it's in an area where it's a potential hazard. It's where you're trying to see traffic and so forth.
Yeah, you can imagine a corner, so to speak. Normally there's a cutoff. It depends on the city, how they define it. Sometimes it's 10, 20. It depends on the size of the road as to where there should not be any signs because we don't have a lot of traffic.
See, our sign that Mr. Hughes is talking about is that what you take a 30 measurement from the center line, go 30 feet and arc it. And so anything beyond the arc, which is considered the clear portion of the intersection, can sit down in there. Anything with inside that arc would have to be at 10 feet high, right? So you have visual view through. And so if we want to rectify that, that would be another change that we would need to do, because they are code
sign ordinance as it sits right now. So.
Well, they're going to need to put a stoplight there pretty soon. I think there could be a bad accident there.
Yeah.
So, will you like to come back and talk more about it?
I mean, just say we do, maybe that's another question you can go over, but just say we do approve like one sign or two signs. Anybody that comes in here, then we have a hard time not approving more signs, right? Like, we can't just say we're just going to have them in these two spots or three spots, can we?
I think you can. You can regulate how many spots. The question is going to come down to who gets to go on there. I mean, is Joe's Welding going to go on there? Are they going to, are all these certain businesses going to take the place of what you're intending was, which was the RV parks and some of the larger?
Well, if you get more people,
I don't know how you can.
Then if you get more people and can go on that sign, then all of a sudden are you obligated to build more signs? Because
well, and that's the issue. You're right. You know,
yeah.
I don't know how many signs. It could just continually grow exponentially. It's not easy. This is not easy. It seems like on the surface, but when you really start thinking about it, you don't know business people. If they want to go on that sign, you can't really tell them no. I mean, it's a problem.
So really, the directional signage came up more because of the businesses requesting.
Yeah, 100%.
I do have a hard time saying that we're going to allow for directional signage for businesses for advertising. I think it makes sense as a city for signage for parks and for historic sites, those types of things. But I do think it's going to open up a can of worms if we go further than that, and I don't know if we want that for our city. Signage for our own stuff, I think, is a great thing for the parks and so forth. But
yeah. What you're talking about, I see, is normal. Cities have those directional signs everywhere, a park, fire station, you know, that.
I see them all the time, and I think
they look nice. Park. Yeah, any of those things like that, you're 100% fine with that.
Yep.
It's when you just start buying businesses.
That's what I worry.
I can see the rationale for the two. If we were to allow it, we'd need to design criteria, maybe the size of the business and how hidden they are, how inaccessible they are. But I'm not sure we want to go there.
Well, another one is churches. You know, churches like to remain out there in the right direction. And then if you start picking and choosing between which church goes on,
I'm curious, Derek, when they kind of talked about this with you, is there like specific ideas they have? Because I'm just thinking, like, I understand the hot spring is set back further, but if they were to have signage on their own property at the entrance of their parking lot, I don't know how else they can really put more signage out unless they're trying to put it across the street. Or
I think they're both intended to try to capture or get informational out to the tourists that actually come over here to our intersection or that are heading to design. I think more so offspring, but I think just the RV would be more of its location because it's really a bad setup that UDOT wouldn't give them frontage off of 9, which would make, and then they could put signage up there and it'd been a lot better situation for them. And in talking to Brad just a little bit, isn't this kind of how we thought we'd best could potentially address this was through directional signs, really about the only thing, because we can't get into the billboard issue since that situation's been somewhat resolved back in the early 2000s where what's there now existing to continue, but no new ones can be put up. But they were just looking for some help trying to find the businesses that, you know, Brad did open up a whole new line of thinking that I haven't even considered.
I spend a lot of time with signs, so it's just
I think they could partner with other businesses and create a sign on business property.
Private property.
And not bring it to the city.
I just don't, from my experience, I don't know how you pick and choose, and then start to regulate picking and choosing without getting a lawsuit some way.
my bigger concern too. There's very, very few there are businesses along State Street in this lower portion, but especially as you start developing the upper side, it's going to get way more intense with all the different businesses that could go up there. It could get really messy.
Yeah. I mean, would you consider just maybe Brad and I face it down, see if there's any possibility of trying to resolve this through this situation, or would you just not even want to attempt to try to go down this road at all, and we could just let the businesses know that they're...
My feeling is right off, I feel like that there would be a lot of all of this stuff we've been discussing right now. If we try to go down that, I can see, you know, assigned to an airport or the city parks or whatever, but other than that, I can see that it could be a problem if we start advertising businesses on directional signs, just like we've been saying. That's just my thoughts.
Well, do we create this sign for that particular use then and not address the business use?
That would be my feeling.
So we could have it so the city could use it for the park, you know, the parks, the fire stations, the city office, the police department, the council, you know, whatever it is, have that there, but not address anything to do with the businesses.
Feels that way to me, too.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Yeah, but not
for. So what we can do then is we can bring back some different designs if you want to look at that, possibly. Just for a little bit of guidance, if you're thinking about something like what I showed there, or is something smaller and more manageable, or...
old piece of wood.
I guess it's pretty elaborate, but... You know, there's a lot of different.
It looks clean and nice.
Yeah. I'll bring back several examples and you guys just kind of take a look at it.
I was going to say, it'd be nice to see some examples similar to this one, and then maybe, because in my mind, this is something that's going to be on more of a major road, but you may have some additional directional signs, just smaller as you're traveling down some of the smaller roads.
Right.
That'd be nice to see those other signage options.
What was that in the other? Yes,
thank you.
Okay.
Item number 6, discussion regarding zoning allowances for R16, HDR 14, and MDR. HDR is high density residential, MDR medium density residential. That was R18 as I recall. And mixed use.
And that was Mary for you guys to read, get out to you to read the discussion next meeting. These are ones, all these shit sounds familiar. We vetted through a lot of these R16s and, you know, and the 14s, the high density, medium density, the mixed use. We just need to get them through the process. They're not going to be assigned to any particular area or zone. Our anticipation is this will be used more on the top side, which I think Matt and Tyson had talked about preparing for the top side, so we're not caught with our path down and going that direction. So we've gotten pretty much formatted and ready to go, but I want you guys to take a chance to read through it, see if there's any other changes or changes that were made that weren't where you want it to be, and then we can have a discussion. Just a discussion next week or in 2 weeks.
Very good. Thank you. Item number J, future considerations. Seems like every year we set an agenda of things we'd like to get to and occasionally do. One is parking. We've discussed that at some length, but never really put it in an ordinance. PUDs. What is that, Derek?
It's a planned unit development. So, you know, Hillside Terrace.
Okay.
Was a PUD where they kind of get. I'm going to use my words correctly. They are allowed to potentially get away with less requirements that the city has and
sometimes bonus densities. If you do a certain amount of open space, sometimes you can get additional density, additional units.
Okay. Signage and then development agreements. And these new zones, I know, require development agreements. Not the R16, I think, but the others require development agreements.
Yeah, we need to massively the other ones in there. Like, I think the development agreements are included in the R36, in the CPED, which is the commercial planned unit development, and something else. But if we're going to start, Brad likes to include a lot of these of the development agreement in the ordinances that we've passed, so we need to make sure that they're included in part of what we state within that agreement.
Okay. So those are for consideration for us to wrap some of those things up that have been kind of hanging for some time. Which would take us to Mr. Smedley's presentation. Thank you for your patience.
It's good to be here with you. I'll just reintroduce myself. I was here a couple months ago when the city started up this process of updating the general plan. Your last general plan was updated in 2018, and then I was contacted last year by the city about helping with the update. I work for the County Association of Governments, and so my services are free to the city, and I am able to help with shepherding through any needed changes to the general plan. I know just up front that just basic statistics will need to be updated, that stuff, and those sorts of things. But the biggest thing that was brought up was really looking at the top side and nailing down to least the extent that's possible what you'd like to see happening up there in language that could then be incorporated into the development agreement and that sort of thing. So just, I wanted to give you, we did a community survey, I wanted to just give you, I made it send this to Derek so it's not in your packet, but I wanted to give you just a copy of the community survey that we did, and the summary, there wasn't a lot of participation, which would indicate that people are generally happy with the way the city is functioning now, the way things are at this time. So I'm just going to hand these out, and then we'll get into a little bit more.
Combination
of whatever to happen.
Yes, that having you red highlight things for us. Last time we did this in 2018 in Planning Commission, we read the whole thing a chapter a night, and it was not useful.
Okay. So I would be happy to go through and just redline it, but the one, the real work I think is in talking with Derek and Kyle is that the top site, getting to the details of the top site. So that will require some just sitting down, vetting out the details of what you would like included, having that sort of discussion, and then putting that, drafting that as a new section of the general plan. And as we're going through this, I'll probably give me a month to go through and get a red line, and then we can pace ourselves. You can say, okay, we've done enough tonight, and move on. But go through and make any of those adjustments that you see, and then really hammer out the top site details. If that sounds like a plan. And as we go along, if there's anything else that comes up that you think needs to be added or modified, that can be included.
As I said, I think it would be nice to meet so we can discuss the top site more, but have everything else done on for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does a month sound good? And that would be the adequate time to go through and get it all redlined and have that pretty much done. You can look through it. I'd have it ready for your meeting, your first meeting in February. So, and have it to you in advance.
I think so.
Okay. And they do have what you sent me.
Okay, yeah. And there's no red line at all in there. So I will send you the red line. If it's helpful, let me know, and I will bring copies, paper copies of the things that I send to you. Just let Derek know, and he can let me know if you'd like to get a copy of what you're working on. That being said, then start thinking about the top site. We do know that there's been some movement on the state land up there, and so there's interest in these happening. So let's get ahead of the curve. Any questions for me? Any comments?
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Bill.
Yeah.
And that would take us to item number K on the agenda.
I move we adjourn.
Okay. We'll hold
second.
All in favor?
Aye.